The Chargers have been very active in free agency so far, and they might not be done yet because there have been reports that they have reached out to tight end Dalton Schultz. Is there any way they can make the money work and reunite him with new Chargers offensive coordinator Kellen Moore?
You are Locked On Chargers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Chargers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And we've been covering the Chargers together now for 7 seasons, but this is our 5th season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Thank you guys, as always, for making us your first listen. We always appreciate that. And to make sure you never miss the show, go subscribe or follow on YouTube or listen wherever you get your podcast. We have a big show today, David, because we do have some news, a report that the Chargers have at least checked in on Dalton Schultz, but that the price is too high right now, and that's not a surprise at all, given the Chargers' salary cap situation. But what if? Because obviously he would make a great fit for the Chargers because he's already played in the Kellen Moore offense, and he's another, you know, the Chargers, even though Gerald Everett's good, that's a position where they could try to upgrade this offseason, and sounds like they've been trying to, right? We also are going to be getting into the Austin Eckler situation a little bit and just who kind of gets the final call? What does it mean that he's going and seeking a trade now and the Chargers have allowed it? And we'll also talk about if there's a couple of guys the Chargers could bring back internally, lower end guys like J.K. Scott or DeAndre Carter. Which one of those guys would you rather have? Both guys I think you could make a case for. And also Jalen Guyton, the forgotten speed threat on the Chargers, where still he has a lot of value and he has a connection with Justin Herbert. So we're going to be talking about that, but I do need to tell you guys that today's episode of Locked On Chargers is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for the people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. This is the report I'm talking about, David, from Jordan Schultz, who says, sources say Chargers are among the teams that have shown interest in Cowboys free agent tight end Dalton Schultz. So far, price has been too high, but the Bolts also hired former Dallas offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, so there is a connection there. David, I mean, just on the surface, I mean, the Chargers are reaching out, right? I mean, to at least gauge the situation. And in a vacuum, the fit makes a ton of sense.
In a vacuum, absolutely. I mean, sometimes I wish we lived in the world of a vacuum, right? That would be great. That way we can just do whatever we want.
You wouldn't be able to breathe. You'd die. But yes, anyway.
Hey, this is my vacuum we're talking about.
I'll teach you science later. This is football.
God, come on. I have a bachelor's in business, not science. All right, let's leave that alone. Back to the business of Dalton Schultz. Obviously, it makes a ton of sense with the familiarity with Kellen Moore as the Chargers offensive coordinator and, you know, him having, you know, the majority of his success under Kellen Moore in that Dallas Cowboys system. Obviously, it makes sense. We know relationships have really been a big thing about with Brandon Staley and the players that he brings in. So it makes a ton of sense to put this together as something that, you know, would definitely improve the offense and a connection that, you know, you can definitely see.
He's been really good too. I mean, it's hard because he's not probably at the upper tier of tight ends, right? But he's probably better than a lot of the kind of middle tier guys. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle there. Good, crafty route runner, good hands, good in contested catch situations. According to Pro Football Focus, he's the number one free agent still left out there. So there's, you'd think a market for this. But unfortunately, the tight end market has been really slow so far. The top signer so far, Hayden Hurst, 3 for $21.8, a little over $7 million a season. Josh Oliver, 3 for $21 million. The biggest thing here is going to be the finances, as Jordan Schultz is saying there, right? I mean, the price was too high. They're obviously checking in on it. The problem with for me is I just don't see how they bridge that gap. I mean, even if he's asking, you know, Hunter Henry, Dawson Knox, you know, David Njoku, all those dudes are making $12.5 million plus. He definitely has a case to say, hey, I'm better than these dudes. I should be making more, and I won't take any less than more than what these guys are making. But even that's a figure that I just don't think there's any way the Chargers can reach that.
Absolutely not. I mean, if you look at the like the effective cap space, you know, that Daniel Popper kind of provides, they're sitting probably around 7 or 8 million, just depending on the cap hits of the moves that they've made. We're still kind of looking for information on the Morgan Fox deal, so we're not exactly sure how much space they have left. But it's not more than $10 million. So it just doesn't seem like, and of course you can manipulate cap hits and stuff with signing bonuses and stuff like that. But I just don't see the possibility, unless he comes way down on his annual, you know, average value that he's asking for, that this is something that can work. The fit makes a lot of sense, but the money, it just doesn't seem like that's something the Chargers are going to be able to come up with unless they make several other moves to be able to accommodate that cap space, which just seems unlikely.
Well, and the thing is like they just have already eaten into so much of 2024 already.
Absolutely.
With all the restructures. And we're going to talk about later kind of just what restructuring is and where that money comes from and where it goes after the restructure happens. Because the Chargers cleared up space this year, but they made less space for themselves next year, right? And I mean, how many, if you know, you're talking a 3-year deal, now you're cutting into what's going to be the Justin Herbert extension year. So I just don't see, you know, them giving something super backloaded, right? Knowing what they have on the horizon for Dalton Schultz. And it seems like that's the only way they'd be able to get this done, considering what their situation is. I mean, I obviously there's interest. If you, you know, you could cut Gerald Everett and have a, you know, $4.2 million cap savings, right? That maybe eats into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's a very well-rounded tight end that would obviously fit great. And Kellen Moore loves using his tight ends. You've seen this dude, you know, catch 55 catches in 3 straight seasons, David, you were talking about before the show. So like the production is obviously there.
Definitely.
Only 11 career drops in 5 seasons. I mean, there's a lot to like there, but especially with what the Chargers need, you know, yak guys, right? I mean, he was 37th in yards after catch per reception last season.
Yeah, 3.6. Yeah.
Everett was 14th, right? So they have a better guy in that regard, a minimum of 25 targets. I don't necessarily see it happening. I just don't think the finances, I don't think they can make the finances work, but they've already been more aggressive than I thought they'd be anyway. So what do I know? Let's get to the next question here from Colby Talbert on Twitter, who asks, would you rather have Dalton Schultz and a difference maker like Bijan Robinson, or a receiver, or would you like to pick up John Johnson and a rookie like Dalton Kincaid or Michael Mayer? So I get the question here, right? It's a little different because it's like John Johnson, you know, safety, and would let you take someone like Dalton Kincaid. You're obviously not going to take a tight end in the first round. It would give you more flexibility about when you want to address tight end in the first round if you end up bringing in Dalton Schultz, obviously. But David, if you're going into this conversation and this is the question, where are you going with it?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take John Johnson and a rookie tight end just because I feel like that's a more of a legit possibility money-wise. I just think that's something that I feel like they're probably going to be able to get done a little bit more. John Johnson coming off of a little bit of a down year with the Browns and, you know, that familiarity with Brandon Staley and just that interchangeability with Derwin James. I just think that's like a really, you know, ideal situation for him. Yeah. And also, I love the idea of getting a young tight end that can build that chemistry with your still young quarterback and really get on the same page and be someone that can be a force to be reckoned with for multiple seasons on a cost-controlled contract.
That's the other part of the equation, is just it's supposedly a very deep tight end class. I mean, I know we've already seen in several tight ends, David, that we've liked, right? And there's a couple more very highly touted ones that we haven't got to watch yet that I'm sure would make sense for the Chargers as well. So, like, getting a cost-controlled rookie tight end, letting him learn under Gerald Everett for a year, at least season a little bit under Gerald Everett for a year, and not need him to come in and take a brunt of the workload right away, I think is key in that situation. At the same time, man, you're telling me you find a way to get Dalton Schultz and Bijan Robinson on the same team?
Like, oh, I'd love that too.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the options, David. That's one of the options, and that's what makes it tough, because it's like, if you could sign me up for that, and you know, obviously in this scenario, the finances are working, that's pretty tempting. I don't know if there's a receiver I'm willing to spend 21 on yet. So if it's Bijan and Dalton Schultz, I could definitely get behind that, and it would make the Chargers offense better, almost unequivocally, right? But you'd still have some needs you would have to fill, you know, speed receiver still wouldn't be one of those two positions. Dalton Schultz, not a very explosive player in that regard, but, you know, it would be an improvement on the Chargers run blocking too. So like that is the other part of it. And having a better run blocker with Bijan Robinson, taking more off Justin Herbert's plate, I mean, that's definitely a very, you know, tantalizing thing for sure. But the more likely one would be, you know, John Johnson and Dalton Kincaid would make this team a lot better too. I mean, Dalton Kincaid is someone we're both very, very high on. And, you know, that's what happens at 21. Maybe there's other options I like more, but I wouldn't be mad at it, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it.
No. But the Bijan Robinson thing also will have a lot to do with the Austin Ekeler thing, because Austin Ekeler not only is requested to seek a trade, he's been allowed to go seek a trade, but so did Melvin Gordon, and we all saw the way that played out. So we're going to talk about what the options are coming up after this, but I do need to tell you guys that the real best option, the best free agent pickup that you can pick up, is Built Bar, because they are the best protein bars on the market. And right now, guys, there's a new flavor out there, white chocolate cookies and cream, 100% covered in white chocolate, filled with cookies and cream. They already had the regular cookies and cream. Now they're upgrading it by making it the white chocolate cookies and cream. And I mean, it is already my new favorite Built Bar. And you just take that to go along with flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, brownie batter. There's so many great flavors, and that's what sets Built Bars apart. And you're getting all those flavors while also staying on your diet, which I think is obviously important to a lot of people. Break up the monotony, break up the diet, get something that tastes great and only has 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein in most bars. It's a no-brainer, guys. Get something that is going to taste good. Get the feeling of eating a candy bar while you're also eating something healthy. There's nothing quite like it. Now you can even find them more easily because you can go pick up a 13-bar box from your nearest Sam's Club, or you can get a 4-bar box from your nearest Walmart. So make sure you guys go pick them up or order them online. You can save some money. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Let's continue this Fan Mail Friday show here, David, with one of our favorites. We have a voicemail to get to regarding Austin Ekeler and just, you know, what is happening with this Austin Ekeler situation? Who is going to decide this? Let's hear what Atir has for us this week.
Hi, Dan. Hi, David. I have a simple question. I want to know about the Austin Ekeler trade. Who have more say on this? Is it the Chargers or is it Ekeler? Does the Chargers have to trade him unless they get what they want? Let me know who have the final say on this. Please, thank you. I love you.
Thank you. I love you. It's a good question, David. I mean, what do you think?
Austin Ekeler has no leverage in this situation whatsoever. And the reason why is because he's under contract for next season. Like, there's really not much he can do. He can request to get a trade. He can request to go seek a trade. But the Chargers have the ultimate power to deny that trade and just keep him under contract. And, you know, we've talked about it before. He has to play at least 6 games to get an accrued season. So he can sit out all of training camp. He can sit out of the preseason while being fined heavily, I might add. But he has to play 6 games to be able to get an accrued season. So he can even, you know, dip his holdout into the season. But I rest assured that he will play those last 6, or else his contract will toll over to the next season. And so he really has no leverage whatsoever. I think this was just the Chargers saying, hey, I'm going to go out there and show you what you can get, or show you what your value is supposed to be. But that's pretty much all this is. Austin Ekeler's in a pretty advantageous situation.
Yeah, I mean, he's disadvantaged by all the other running back contracts that have been signed so far in this agency period, right? I mean, the highest guy that's gotten paid this season, the highest contract that has been doled out on an annual basis, was Miles Sanders, 4 for 25, 6.25 average per year. You know who else has that contract? Austin Ekeler.
Right.
So, like, that's, you know what I mean? That's what he's currently playing for. So, like, and it sucks because he does deserve a pay raise. It's just a terrible year to try to get it done. He's not getting, you know, he can look and say, hey, Derrick Henry's making 12.5. Alvin Kamara's making 15. Zeke was making 15. Dalvin Cook's making 12.6. Christian McCaffrey, the guy he's probably closest to, is at 16. But Austin Ekeler is older than the guys getting paid in this market, and they're getting paid a lot less. And the age is going to play a part in it, because part of the trade is you're going to have to give him the contract that he wants.
Yep.
Plus give up compensation for him. You're going to get one, you know, season where he's very much seeming like he's in his prime or close to it right now, going into his age 28 season, but you're giving him an extension that doesn't start till year 29 for him. So I don't think he has a lot of leverage, but I wouldn't say he has none. The leverage he has is, listen, I can tank this very promising season because you're not going to have a running back potentially, because I'm going to sit out as many games as I possibly can. And, you know, just like what happened with Melvin Gordon, right? I mean, Melvin Gordon ended up losing money because he took all the fines that he got. And then he ended up not getting $10 million per year anyways once he finally did get to the open market, right?
Close to it.
But Austin Ekeler can raise a stink, which he already has to some extent, right? He can be a distraction, which, I mean, you know, indirectly or directly being a distraction. And also, you're worse with him not on the field as the roster is currently constructed right now, right? So that is the leverage he has. But everything has gone wrong from a financial standpoint since he's requested it, because the numbers coming out, what people are willing to pay, the market for running backs right now is just very, very low. And I don't think anyone's going to be willing to send the compensation and also give him in the double digits $10+ million a season. I just don't see it right now, even though he's a great player. I just don't see it happening.
He definitely is. Yeah.
He is. And he deserves a raise. He's just not going to get the one he wants, I don't think. But let's get to Kevin here, who asks, do we re-sign Jalen Guyton? Would love to get another shot for him with the Chargers. Are there any other free agent receivers we could get on the low that would be a fit? I looked at the free agent receivers. I don't think there's much out there right now that I'd be super interested in. I don't think there's anyone that's really moving the needle. A lot of those guys have been picked up. A lot of the guys we talked, pretty much everyone we talked about as an option for the Chargers have been picked up at this point. But Jalen Guyton, David, I love that idea of a reunion with him.
Definitely. I do too. I mean, I feel like
in the right situation, right?
Yes.
If he's not the only guy, that's the big thing.
That's the big thing for sure. He cannot be the only answer. It's definitely in addition to type of situation. But yes, I definitely would love for the Chargers to bring him back. He's coming off of an ACL injury. Obviously, you have to factor that into the equation. That typically takes anywhere from 6 to 9 months to recover.
Week three. So I think that's right. What's working in their favor, yeah.
Right. So 6 months is actually going to be March 25th, and then, 9 months would be in June. So he should be ready for training camp in that type of scenario. Obviously, everybody heals differently, but he's still only 25 years old. Still very productive. He's had three seasons where he's had 50-plus receptions in each of those seasons. Also, three touchdown seasons in the last two seasons alone. And it's very clear and obvious that he has a chemistry with Justin Herbert. And yes, he can definitely fly. And there's no question about that. He is a true 4-3 guy when he is right and he is healthy. He does stretch the field. We have seen what he is able to do and how he changes the dynamic of the offense. So, yeah, I mean, it's not going to cost a lot. There's chemistry there. It definitely makes sense if they're able to get a deal done.
Yeah, and I don't know if you said 50 catch seasons. He has had
50-plus yard catches.
Okay.
And, yeah.
There you go, 50-plus yard catches. I mean, that's something we definitely know he can do. Yes. He's never had a huge role in the Chargers offense, but he filled a very specific need. With his injury situation, I think this is probably something that happens later on. Maybe not. But I do think, it has to be an extra option. Just bringing back Jalen Guyton doesn't solve their problems that you have in the receiving room. I do think it looks different if he doesn't tear his ACL in a meaningless fourth quarter against the Jaguars last year. But it has to be in addition to. Like, he has to be a backup option. The Chargers don't like carrying wide receivers. That should change given how last season went. If you're learning, if you're evolving from that, that should change.
Please.
If you want to get another guy who's fast – and he's your wide receiver 4, and you want Jalen Guyton to be your wide receiver 5, I'm all for it. Does he play special teams? No. Are they willing to give that fifth spot to someone who doesn't? They should, but I don't know if they will. But I definitely like him. 4-3 speed, yeah. We'll see what he looks like after the ACL. Connection with Justin Herbert should be pretty cheap. Yeah, I'd be all for it. But let's go to Bolt Up Andrew, who asked a very good question here. If you could only bring back one, would you rather bring back J.K. Scott or DeAndre Carter, David?
Yeah, this might surprise some people, but honestly, I would prefer them to bring back J.K. Scott. And the reason why is because he was a key, integral part in the overhaul of the special teams unit. And I mean, if you look at the punt average, it's not the sexiest thing in the world. It's 43.6, which is 27th in the NFL, but that's not what made J.K. Scott effective. It was the hang time that he got on his punts, which were ridiculous. That hang time, which was most of the time close to 5 seconds, allowed 45.2% of his punts to not be returned.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy, crazy number.
The highest mark in the league.
Yes, you know what I mean? Highest mark in the league.
Returned punts.
So yeah, that hang time also allows that coverage unit to get out there quickly to reduce the effectiveness of those returns, which also happened. 19 returns, only 58 yards, 3.1 yard average on those returns. So it was such a big difference maker. He was fantastic for the Chargers. I feel like this is something that the Chargers need to get done, bring him back. He's also still very young, and what he did made a big difference.
Well, let's give some credit to DeAndre Carter, right?
I mean, absolutely.
He was part of the reason why the special teams was a lot better, too, because he was a much better punt returner than they've had in a while. I mean, he was 7th in the NFL as far as anyone who returned 10 punts last year, had the 7th best average per return. But the problem is, and the reason I would go J.K. Scott as well, is it feels like DeAndre Carter is a position that they can upgrade on, right?
Definitely.
Whatever that is, wide receiver four. He played much more than he probably should have offensively last season, but that's what happens when you keep, you know, five
admirably
receivers.
Yeah.
Played very good. Doesn't get a lot of separation, a lot of very tight windows on some of those throws.
Which
right?
is surprising.
Broken open
yeah.
plays. But, I mean, the other thing is you never really fit the gadget guy who can create on his own and make something happen with the ball in his hands. That wasn't really what his thing was. And he was not a great kick returner, right? And that was he got all the reps at kick returner, basically. And he just – the Chargers were one of the worst kick return average teams in the NFL. So DeAndre Carter feels like somewhere they could upgrade. J.K. Scott, if you want to keep going with that same thing, Ryan Ficken likes him. I'm trusting Ryan Ficken. If they bring him back, I will be happy with it. Maybe they try to just punt, you know, find some punter in the draft in the seventh round that gets like 17 seconds of hang time each punt, because obviously they love that. And, the returns on that investment speak for themselves, and that was a big part of it. But we do have more questions that we want to get into and get into as many as we can coming up after this, talking about if the Chargers' recent aggressiveness has kind of shown that Tom Telesco feels the heat that's on under his seat, and another reunion the Chargers could make with another internal free agent no one's talking about enough, Bryce Callahan. Could he be coming back into the fold? We're going to talk about that. But first, I need to tell you guys that the official betting sponsor of the Locked On Chargers podcast is FanDuel. FanDuel is also the number one sportsbook in America. And right now, the NBA season is midway through, and it's a great time to get involved with FanDuel because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use, and you can bet on everything from the money line, point scores, and threes drained. And also, it's March Madness, right? That's happening right now. So many crazy games. What a crazy first day. So many upsets already. Thank God San Diego State was able to find a way to pull it through. But craziness, the best days to bet of the year, in my opinion. Maybe that and the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the most jam-packed sports days you're going to get. It's the best time to get in with FanDuel right now. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss out on your chance for that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official betting sponsor of the NBA. All right, David, we have a bunch more questions to get to. We also, shout out to you guys. I mean, thank you for making us your first listen. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your team every day. But thank you to you guys for coming up and bringing such great content to the show today. So many questions. We're going to keep some of these in the bank for the next question show, too, because there's just so many, and we're not going to be able to get to them all today. But let's get to this one here from Chris Saez, who asks, do you think Tom Telesco's recent moves are him realizing he's on the hot seat, or more the aggressiveness of Brandon Staley? And let's be honest, I mean, we don't know how hot the seat is for either of those guys or both of those guys, but it would seem like this is a big year for both of them. And I think it could be a little bit of both, because definitely, I mean, as far as who they're going and who they're targeting and just kind of the precision strikes they've been making in free agency these last couple of years and how targeted these moves have been, it's hard for me to believe that Brandon Staley isn't a big part of it.
That's absolutely correct, and that's where I was going to go with it as well. It's definitely a combination of the both, especially for Tom Telesco, because this is his third head coach. And he's not going to get another one, more than likely. Okay. If this one doesn't work out, then they're not just going to fire the coach. They're going to fire him too, because he's had a long enough time, a full body of work to be able to show what you're, you know, supposed to do as a general manager. And at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses and winning championships. And he has been unable to put a team together to accomplish that mission. And also for Brandon Staley, he's had two seasons with two subpar defenses. And so he definitely wants to make a statement and say, you know, hey, I am that defensive guru, that, you know, that genius, that mastermind. And again, it's about making the playoffs and winning championships. So if that hasn't happened, then their goal has not been reached. So yes, both of them are sharing the flames of that hot seat.
I mean, yeah, he might think he's a defensive genius and a mastermind and want to show that, but he needs to show it, because there's been nothing in the first couple of seasons that, you know, he could realistically back up that claim with. And I know that's something that fans are getting most tired with, right? Hey, defensive guru, all of these things. It has to translate to the defense.
Right, show me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big reason to go be, you know, a more aggressive. Go get guys you think that are going to improve this defense, like Eric Kendricks. Bring back the guys who are going to, you know, keep what you have and you're keeping your best guys like Morgan Fox.
Keeping the best parts of your defense, yeah.
Sure. All these guys are incentive to win this year. And, I mean, all of the things the Chargers have done this season and this offseason have been showing, hey, we're all in again in 2023 as much as they can be given the cap situation. But this is from Eden Natoli, who's asking, why not re-sign Bryce Callahan? Cheap option, familiar with the staff. J.C. Jackson is a big question mark right now. This seems like a no-brainer. Agreed.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like a no-brainer. I mean, he played great football, and you know, the biggest knock on Bryce Callahan has never been the talent. It's never been the ability. It's been the ability to stay healthy and stay on the football field, and he did that for the most part last year. The only reason why I feel like it might not happen is because I feel like the Chargers are high on Jahzir Taylor, and I think they might put Jahzir Taylor in that situation, in that Bryce Callahan type of role, which we did see that happen, you know, towards the end of the season for Jahzir Taylor. So if it doesn't happen, I feel like that's a large reason why. But yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, he knows the system, obviously excelled in the system, and you know, coming off of a good year, who knows if he's going to be cheap or not, but it makes a ton of sense.
I mean, I think he's going to be cheap. Age, durability issues, right? I mean, last year was the outlier. He was the closest he's ever played to a full season.
Yep.
But he was great. You know, if that guy's available, I understand if you want to move on to a younger guy. But with the J.C. Jackson uncertainty, I would definitely understand if the Chargers wanted to knock on that door again, because he was great last season. And, I mean, you need depth at the very least. Jahzir Taylor is good depth. And got exposed a little bit, let's be honest, in that playoff game. He might not be ready to take on that as a full-time role yet. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I love Bryce Callahan. I'd like to see him back in Chargers uniform. I don't have anything against that. But one of the reasons they have a chance for it is because they've restructured so many contracts. And there's been a lot of talk about restructuring. But what does restructuring mean? Let's hear what Ryan from Huntington Beach has to say about
it. Hey, fellas. This is Ryan from Huntington Beach. I actually had a question about restructuring contracts. What does it actually mean to restructure? Does it mean that we're putting money into bonuses, or are you putting money into another year of their contract? I'm just curious on how restructuring actually works in the NFL. Thanks. Bolt up.
What do you think, David?
Yeah, so restructuring is basically moving money around, essentially. So when you're restructuring a deal, you're basically converting a portion of that player's salary in the form of a signing bonus. You know, so that cap hit and that bonus can be kind of spread over the length of the contract, which will lower that cap number. It doesn't change the contract. It doesn't change the amount of money that that player is going to earn in that contract. It just how that contract is going to be paid out over time. The money is going to come due either way. It's just kicking the can down the road a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great way of explaining it, David. I think the most simple thing and the most important thing about it is the money is going to come due. So the Chargers are saving money on the salary cap this season, and these guys' cap hits are getting lowered this season. But whatever money you take out of this year's salary cap hit goes to whatever years you have left on your contract. And for a lot of these guys, they only have 1 year left, which is leading to massive, massive cap hits in 2024 and is going to lead to some hard decisions unless they, you know, extend guys and restructure and push the can down the road even more. But as we've seen it right now, the repercussions are going to be felt in 2024, probably with some of these big-time guys that got restructured potentially not being on the team anymore. And that's obviously huge when you're talking about the guys you're talking about, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, and Mike Williams. So we'll see what happens there. But that is kind of how restructures work. It takes away cap it from one time, 1 year, by just giving it to the player basically as a signing bonus and just giving them the money up front, which is no player. Why no player is usually, you know, trying to get out of that or not being willing to do that.
Right.
But it's going to come due at some point. But with the rising salary cap, that's what teams are just banking on, right? The salary cap is going to keep going up. I can keep pushing it down the road. It's a very aggressive move, and there's a reason why the Chargers haven't done it many times in the past, and Tom Telesco has really stayed away from it. But let's get to this next question here from Charles Motz, who asks, can you explain what star money and the green dot are in Brandon Staley's defense? These are all good questions, David. I mean, basically, when you're talking about star money, a star is when the Chargers go to a nickel formation, basically, when they have five defensive backs on the field. They're basically, they're taking off a linebacker, they're taking off an edge rusher or a defensive tackle and putting a smaller guy on the field. And whoever that next defensive back on the field is, the fifth defensive back in this scenario, who is playing in the slot, is going to be the star. When you go to dime, you think back in the day with Adrian Phillips, right, when he was playing linebacker, that's what that's what it is. A dime linebacker is basically the money position. So if you hear them, you know, saying money or star. They're talking about either a nickel linebacker for the most part or a star linebacker. It's basically either the fifth defensive back that's getting on the field or the sixth defensive back. And they usually use different guys for that role, right?
Yes.
And that's the other thing, the flexibility of the Chargers defense is you might need a nickel corner, but also you have Derwin James playing the star a lot of times and he can fill in there, which, you know, obviously means you got to shift guys around, but that's basically what they're talking about. The green dot, though, David, is something that got changed around a little bit last season, but something that pretty much all NFL teams have.
Right. So in the helmet of the quarterback, right, you know, they are able to communicate with the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator is going to relay that play to the quarterback. The quarterback is going to then tell that play to the rest of the offensive skill players. On the defensive side, that person is the one that is communicating with the defensive coordinator. The defensive coordinator is relaying the defensive play call to that player that's wearing that green dot that has that radio communication in his helmet. And then that player is then relaying that play to the rest of the defense. That is essentially what the green dot is.
Absolutely. So the big thing is you're only allowed to have one green dot on the field on both sides of the ball, right? So if it's your quarterback, you know, on offense, it's always going to be the quarterback. For the defense, though, it's usually a middle linebacker. So last season, it was Derwin James for a little bit, but it ended up with Drew Tranquil. And I would just add, besides just telling the play, the green dot has to know where everyone's supposed to be on every play in every package, because the Chargers run a lot of different defensive personnel and different defensive packages out there. Whoever that green dot is not only has to be able to transfer the play from the coaches to these players, but they also have to be able to know where all of these dudes are supposed to be. So when everyone lines up on whatever that given play is, you have the right guys in the right spot leading.
He's like a coach on the field. It's basically like a QC, a quality control guy.
I mean, Derwin James got it taken away from him. So, I mean, like, there's obviously something to it other than just giving the play. And a lot of it is just having that innate ability to know where everyone's supposed to be at every time, because that is such a big part of it. And the Chargers, I mean, last year had a lot of broken plays. So maybe something they can get a lot better at this season. It'll be interesting to see who gets it, though, right? Is it some like Eric Kendricks, who's a brand new guy? They're going to trust him with that? Probably not Kenneth Murray, I would think, at this point, if they haven't been willing to give it to him in any of his first three seasons, right?
Doubtful.
But that is what all those things mean. A lot of the things you'll see, you know, or hear Brandon Staley say and see in articles written about Brandon Staley. I'm glad to talk about that, because sometimes we do just throw around, you know, star and money.
Yeah.
And green dot. And you know, those are weird things. Those are things you don't hear in everyday language, right? So that is what those mean. And they're more important, at least the terminology of star and money, in Brandon Staley's defense specifically. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. The good news is, Chargers have been acting crazy, and we might have some great news to bring to you on Monday. If not, we'll get back to Mock Draft Monday, maybe do a 2 or 3 round mock for you guys and get into some of our favorite prospects now that free agency is slowing down a little bit. But we'll see what the weekend brings. But there will be a shift to more draft coverage pretty soon. But thank you guys for checking out today's show. As always, to make sure you guys never miss a show, you can find it available on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribing or following on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcast from. You can also find the show every day and make sure you never miss the show by subscribing to all of our social media. You can follow me on Twitter at DanTalkSports and David Drogemeyer on Twitter at DroTalkSD, as well as the show's page at LockedOnLAC. Thank you to everyone who called into the voicemail line today, too. We really appreciate that. You can always call in and get your 30-second voicemail in at 323-524-7924. And we love doing these shows with you guys and plan on doing them for the rest of the offseason as well. And we appreciate your guys' questions and bringing some content to the show for sure. Thank you guys again for making this your first listen, though. If you need a second listen, though, there's a very, very exciting new show that you guys need to check out. And that's really going to be big for the Locked On Podcast Network. And that is Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino, two guys part of the Locked On Podcast Network, as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise. Monday through Friday, find on Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcast from and on YouTube. But David, that is a great show. Big get for the for the Locked On Podcast Network for sure. Keeping those guys around, super talented. We're working with the Draft Network. Definitely know their stuff. So make sure you check that out. And make sure you're back with us on Monday, guys. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.